good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And I thought that that we might start out our new year with a song of praise. I guess I'm like Ben. At my core, I'm an optimist. I think I do my best to be a pessimist. I think I try really hard to be a cynic, but it never quite works out. So our reading today is Psalm 148. It's a psalm of just effusive praise. I've selected a different translation today. This comes to us from the Yale Anchor Bible series. Basically, what the Anchor Bible is individual books or sections of text, like the Psalms, are taken by individual scholars, Hebrew and Greek scholars, and they do their own translations and their own commentary on them. And I've selected this one from the third book of Psalms in the Anchor Bible. This is translated by Father Mitchell Dahood, who's a Hebrew scholar and also an expert on ancient Near East poetry, for a couple different reasons, which I'll explain. But in the meantime, I ask for you to listen to the word of the Lord in your heart. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh from the heavens, praise him from the heights. Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his soldiers. Praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all stars of morning. Praise him, heaven of heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh. He alone commanded and they were created. He stationed them from all time to eternity. He issued a decree and it shall never pass away. Praise Yahweh from the netherworld, you sea monsters and all you depths, fire and hail and snow and smoke, storm and wind, executing his command. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild beasts and all cattle, reptiles and winged birds, kings of earth and all peoples, princes and all tribes of earth, chosen lads and maidens too, old men and youngsters alike. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is exalted. Though his splendor is above the earth and heavens, he raised the horn of his people. Praise him for all his devoted ones, for the children of Israel, the people close to him. Praise Yahweh. Let us be in prayer. Holy Heavenly God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, Lord, be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we passed through, I think, what could be called a difficult year. Difficult year for many people in this room. A difficult year for the nation that has seen us divided into vicious fights over politics. Even a difficult year as a culture, you know, as we've seen people, beloved actors and artists who have died this year. I don't really know if more famous people died this year than in previous years. It just seems that way, the way we're talking about it, the way we're absorbing this year. So I think it's appropriate at times like this, at times when where we often see ourselves in the midst of a sea of trouble and uncertainty and grief, to know that God is ultimately in charge, that God is present, that God is present through the cosmos. And well, I cannot, I don't think any of us can really answer why terrible grief happens, why some people must struggle and suffer as much as they do in this life. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that God is holding them in the very palm of their hands. And there's something about, as I read through this psalm, there's a quality to it, a quality that the poet was putting into it. And I guess the way I think about it is this idea of God spiraling downward to us. He starts out, praise Yahweh from the heavens, praise Him from the heights, His angels, His soldiers. One of the terms used to refer to God is Lord of hosts, His angelic soldiers, the heavenly beings that guard heaven. So the psalmist starts out in this higher realm, this spiritual realm, the heavens that are beyond our imagination. He then goes to talk about the moon and the stars and sort of the dome of heaven and the way ancient people imagined there being sort of a sea above the earth, and that's why the sky's blue and everything. So he's talking about God is present in the physical cosmos. And God is having created it and having mastery over this. Then goes to the great things of the world, the things of the deep sea, the sea monsters and all the things that are hidden in the depths and the powers of creation and destruction, fire and hail, snow and smoke that are so overpowering, so full of fear and wonder, but yet at their core they are created and they are commanded by God. And the animals of the earth, the wild things and the domestic things and all those things that even though we may have dominion over them, ultimately it's God that has dominion over him. So God keeps spiraling downward from the cosmic heights to the human world. And then he goes on to this general way of talking about humans, the starting with the kings, the great political leaders of the earth, and the princes and the tribes, and all those people that the people of Israel saw themselves surrounded by. Young men and young women. Elders that are full of wisdom, and full of wisdom of God, and the young people too, full of hope and full of wonder. And then it goes on to say, and then the psalmist goes on to finish, to say, even though, all the splendor God has created, from the transcendent heavens to the cosmos, to the secrets of the depths, to the animals that walk upon the earth, even though God is as big as creation is and bigger still, is the term the psalmist uses is he has raised the horn of his people. That could mean a couple things. It could be a horn of victory, that he has given victory to his people, Israel, this small and insignificant group of folks. And or it could be like a horn of plenty, like he's given good harvests to his children. And so what the psalmist is doing in his own heart as he's thinking about the nature of God, as he's He's looking at these two poles, that God is both this transcendent, unimaginable being that has created and set in motion the heavens and the natural world, but that God is also present and also intimate, that this transcendent being is also present for his children, Israel. And of course, for ancient peoples, the primary unit of social life was the tribe, the clan, the group. So this is where the spiral stops for the psalmist. But for us as people in the 21st century, it's the individual. So it's easy to think of the spiral going downward to the individual person, that even though God is as big as creation and has command over all creation, you know, his concern is for you as individuals, his love is for you as individuals. He is as intimate with the details of your life as he is with the majesty of the galaxies. And one of the reasons I selected this translation is because it doesn't turn the cultic name of God, Yahweh, in the minds of the ancient Hebrew people into just God. There were a number of words for God in Hebrew, but there were two kind of basic ones. One that's just more general, that's just more God is El or Elohim, which just means God or gods, and is often translated as God in most translations. And then there's the one, there is the name of God in the minds and in the intimacy and in the relationship that God has with the Hebrew people, Yahweh. And it's kind of when the psalmist is using God as this transcendent being, you know, is imagining God as having command over all the heavens and all the cosmos, but not using the general cosmic name of God, but the intimate name of God. Kind of the way we often refer to God in the shorthand of Jesus today, the personable name, the name that is present for us, that came into this world. It's sort of the way that the psalmist used Yahweh. So what are we to take from this psalm today? I think it's ultimately about the limits of your imagination as to how small God can be for us. See, I think it's easy to imagine God as this grand cosmic being. After all, he's the creator of the cosmos. He's the creator of all the things that are seen and unseen. But I think it takes that extra leap of faith, that extra leap of trust in God, to know that even as he guides the galaxies in their spin, he's concerned with us in our hearts, in the intimate details of our lives, in our times of joy and hope. God is there. God celebrates with us, this God who created the universe. And in our times of sorrow and grief, God is there to weep with us, this intimate God present, sitting next to us, dwelling within our hearts. And it's the same God that created the universe. And the challenge for the psalmist is the challenge for us today, even as Christians, that this God of the universe is still the God that chose to be born in a stable, that chose to be born in a manger, because God is not willing to be separated from God's people. God, through love, is not willing to be distant, as far away as the stars, as the galaxies. And the reason for that, tension, is that of all God's grand and cosmic qualities, his overwhelming power His majesty, just as great as all of those, is God's love. God's unwillingness to be apart from those God loves. And so as we go into this new year and we live our lives and we look at all the things that are happening in the world and we look at all the things that we hope for and fear, know that God, the creator of the universe, is with us and will never leave our side. And if nothing else, that's worthy of praise and the certainty that someone loves you. Thank you.